This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shofetim, Chapter 5. This chapter contains the song or poem that Devoran Barak composed after the triumph over Yavin, king of Chatzor. It's known as Shirat Devorah. Now, prophetic poetry is really designed to be recited or sung, and it puts the events that have just happened into some kind of bigger picture perspective. Usually when we encounter biblical poetry, it's an indication that something in the narrative represents a major development, a turning point, a breakthrough in the unfolding of the divine plan. Now, for obvious reasons, trying to summarize a poem would destroy it and wouldn't do justice to its beauty or its power. It needs to be read and experienced, really, to be fully understood and appreciated. But we should at least identify some of the key themes that are present in Shirat Devorah so that we can extract the lessons and the motifs that it gives expression to. Now, a key element of Shirat Devorah is its depiction of how severe the persecutions were under the regime of Yavin, as was mentioned yesterday. Normal everyday activities like traveling on the road, drawing water, were impeded by attacks from the Kena'anim, who felt free rein to terrorize the Jews. The Jews were also demilitarized. They didn't have a spear. They didn't have shields. They didn't have anything, which makes Barak's hesitation to get involved in the battle a little bit more understandable. The Jews were essentially unarmed, or practically unarmed, when they went to fight against Yavin's forces, when they went to confront Sisera. So this highlights, on the other hand, how miraculous their triumph in the battle was. What an amazing victory it was, how clear it was that the hand of God was involved in this transformation. Now, another theme of the song, aside from the persecution, the me'afela le'ora, going from darkness to light, how dramatic the transition was and the salvation was, is the emphasis on hitnadvut, voluntary involvement. Because there was no central political authority at this time, the time of the Shofetim, therefore, there was no way to compel citizens, let's say, to go out to war. There was no draft. It was all up to you. And so some of the tribes, like Yisachar, Zevulun, Binyamin, Menashe, Ephraim, Naphtali, they all enthusiastically, willingly committed themselves to this rebellion effort when they were summoned by Barak. However, there were other tribes, such as Reuven, Gad, and half of Menashe on the other side of the Yarden, as well as Dan and Asher, who were less willing to take risks on behalf of their people. The reason would seem to be because, since in the case of the tribes on the other side of the Jordan, geographically they were isolated from mainland Israel and therefore had less of a stake in the success or failure. They only could lose if the Jews lost, but they didn't feel that they would gain anything from winning. And Dan and Asher up in the north were involved in lines of work and in businesses that were essentially economically independent from the rest of Israel. So they weren't as affected by the persecutions of Yavin, the king of Chatzor. So therefore, they were able to remain neutral. They didn't want to throw their hats into the ring, so to speak. But this underscored the sense of division amongst the Jewish people, the lack of a sense of responsibility for one another. This confederacy of tribes is much like the Jewish community today, which is spread out all over the world. If we're to stay together, we have to care about one another, even when the crisis in one community doesn't directly affect us physically or practically in any way. We have to empathize. We have to do what we can to help. We have to have a sense of responsibility for one another that's based upon the values and the Torah that unite us, not just based on practical utility. And that was one of the criticisms. So Shirat Devorah really praises those who stood up of their own accord to get involved in this national effort, and criticizes or calls into question the decision of some of the tribes not to get themselves involved. After all, she points out, Devorah and Barak both point out, that there were kings of Canaan without any financial incentive joined the battle against Israel. They didn't need to be wooed. They didn't need to be seduced. And yet the Jews, if they didn't see an incentive, weren't necessarily willing to get involved to save their own brothers and sisters from oppression. And this was unfortunate. Now, the manifestation of divine presence in the history of Israel is another element of the song. Shirat Devorah talks about, makes reference to the revelation at Har Sinai, the kingship and majesty of Hashem. We know that Yavin here seemed like an a king who was invincible. And yet, the Melech Malachei HaMalachim, the ultimate king, is Hashem, and he is the one, just as he revealed himself at Mount Sinai as the ultimate king, he was the one who defeated Yavin despite his great military advantage. Finally, Shirat Devorah revisits the feminine motif that we mentioned in yesterday's Nach Yomi, because the roles of Devorah and Ya'el are again described. Devorah calls herself here Em B'Yisrael, a mother in Israel. Ya'el is called Min Nashim Ba'Oel Tivorach. Nashim Ba'Oel is she is more blessed than the women in the tent. Being called a woman in the tent is being called one of the matriarchs. In other words, she's again being described in a motherly way. And this is another female character is brought in by Devorah here, which is the mother of Sisera. The mother of Sisera is waiting by the window for her son to come home from the battle, making up all kinds of excuses for why he's late, not willing to accept the fact that he has in fact died in battle, and therefore imagining that he must be raping and pillaging the Jews, which apparently to her was a very comforting thought, that he was going to bring home women and bring home spoils of war, and that he was just spending a lot of time triumphing over his enemies, when in reality this was an illusion and he had died already. So these illusions are beginning to crumble, and she begins to weep at the window. The song concludes with the prayer that just as the wicked designs of the enemies of Israel evaporated and they were left confounded by it because of Hashem's plan, which overrides all other plans, so too should all enemies of Hashem and enemies of the Jewish people have their designs and plots against us foiled by Hashem. Hashem has the ability to do that, the power to do that, as long as we do what's necessary to make ourselves worthy of his providential care.